case of the day, United States versus Guajardo Martinez, appeal 09-3324. Mr. Threlkeld. Go ahead, Mr. Threlkeld.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the court, counsel. As obviously you know, I'm Brian Threlkeld with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, arguing on behalf of Juan Guajardo Martinez. It's not disputed that the district court erred in sentencing Mr. Guajardo. Considered as aggravating factors several arrests that had never led to convictions, and the court failed to make any findings that facts in the record showed that those arrests represented actual criminal conduct. So the court relied on unreliable factors in sentencing. And when the court committed this error, its error prejudiced Mr. Guajardo. The court thought that these arrests were important components of the nature and the character of Mr. Guajardo's criminal history. It mentioned these DUI arrests several times. And when it inadvertently referred to the arrests as convictions at one point in the pronouncement of sentence, and when the government alerted the district court to its mistake in referring to these arrests as convictions, the court took pains to clarify that it knew that they were arrests and that it was as arrests that it was considering these elements of his record as important aggravating factors.
Is that a concern that there may be an alcohol problem?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Was there some concern on his part that there may be an alcohol problem that I guess toward the end of the discussion they actually said, yeah, maybe there is, because of the, we'll call it the domestic violence as well as the three arrests?
There was reference to an alcohol problem. That seemed to be, the court seemed to refer to that more in passing than it did the DUI arrests. Because it...
DUI what?
The DUI arrests. As it referred to those arrests several times in the course of sentencing.
He kept referring back to the drug, I guess what it was, distribution as opposed to just possession.
Yes.
He was emphasizing that constantly, coming back to that, why there had to be something more to the sentence.
That was one of the elements. The court said that, number one, it would have considered the fast-track issue, and number two, in a broader sense, it might have considered a substantially lower sentence, as much as 16 months lower than the one it actually imposed, if there were if there were a number of things different about the about Mr. Guajardo's criminal record. Okay, it seems from the way the court is discussing these factors that each of them is important.
Well, isn't it pretty clear that the most important one is the severity, the drug trafficking conviction?
That's the one that the judge mentions first.
He emphasizes that one.
And I think it would be at least a fair inference of the transcript that the judge thought that was the most important one. But I think the government is off base in trying to argue that that was the only thing that was important, and that these references to the DUI arrests were inconsequential. And it tries to refer to cases such as Walker and I think it was Hawkwing, where this court had said that the district court erred in considering arrests that did not result in conviction, but that error was harmless because in light of the rest of the record. Well, in those cases, it was clear that the defendants had much more serious and lengthy criminal records than Mr. Guajardo had. In fact, there's at a couple of points, the court mentions your criminal history is not as lengthy as that I often see here. Your criminal history, it's a fairly short criminal history.
How much time did he do in prison?
How much time has he been sentenced?
No. He, in that Lake County drug conviction case, he was sentenced in 01.
And released.
He goes to prison, and then he's deported, and he comes back, and then he's arrested in 09 here in Waukegan again.
Yeah, it's he was arrested in August of 2000, then convicted in February of 2001, and released on parole in July of 2002. Seems like maybe a year and a half in prison.
Okay, so there's INS hold on him when he's in prison, I assume.
Presumably.
And he gets deported.
Yeah, presumably.
And then he comes back and he's got a fake driver's license and gives the police a false name. And
yeah, and these things concerned the court. But again, his record was apart from the DUI arrests, not so extensive that, as is the case in Walker and Hawkwing, the arrests kind of fade into marginal significance. The court clearly thought that that the arrests were important. And as I said, when the government alerted the court, you referred to these arrests as convictions, the court was very careful in saying, I was aware when I was speaking that they were arrests, not convictions. And it was clearly doing this because it thought that the arrests were an important part or component of its decision in sentencing Mr. Guajardo to 40 months and not to a lower sentence. Now,
how could those arrests be used then, if at all? What would he have in addition if just to refer to those arrests as just no impact at all, or you don't consider it, or is there some reason why, with more information, he could consider it?
Well, with at least two of the arrests, there's no elaboration on the circumstances of the arrest or any reports from the officers, if I'm understanding your question correctly.
I mean, he was arrested. It wasn't just stopped and tested and they let him go, I guess.
Apparently he was arrested, but the PSR had just bare-bones information on two of them.
I'm just asking, what beyond bare-bones could it have had where he could have used them? I'm asking that just because I don't know the answer.
Well, a description. The government has pointed out that with the third arrest, there was a description from the police report of Mr. Guajardo's appearance when he was arrested. I think a smell of alcohol, and I believe an admission from him that he had been drinking. These were not matters that were contested by the defense at the hearing because they never came up. But at least plausibly, that's the sort of information that that could have been used by the court to say, all right, I find by preponderance of the evidence that these arrests represent actual criminal conduct by the defendant. Yes.
You're getting into one of the things that troubles me. If the defense had raised this, then the district court could have addressed it, for example, and said, well, I'm not so sure about the first two since we don't have any details on those, but we do have the third. And I guess I'm troubled by the prospect of setting this aside when the issue wasn't raised where we had the backup. The district court had that information available to it.
Well, that's why it's plain error review. I wasn't trial counsel. I get the cases it's given to me. One last thing I wanted to address, with respect to the district court's rejection of the fast track argument, the government has said that the district court didn't consider the DUI arrests in its view of the criminal record in declining to consider the fast track issue. The district court had a couple of pages earlier, I think, page 26 in the transcript. It talks about Mr. Guajardo's criminal record. That's my appendix, page 26. It talks about the criminal record, and it mentions he brings the DUI arrests into the discussion. Then on page, I think it's 30, my appendix, page 30, the district court says I'm not going to consider, I might consider the fast track issue if his record was less spotty, not if it was spotless, but less spotty. And then a couple and he doesn't mention anything else about the record.
Well,
and then a couple.
Discuss something about the fast track earlier, at least, that you've got that there are certain waivers and other things that he wouldn't be subjected to in the fast track areas. We're comparing them, say that it's different here. We don't have. He doesn't have to waive appeal, for example.
Yes. Well, this court has said that that it is proper for district courts to consider the fast track disparity. Well, by definition, in most cases where the court might consider that, the defendant has not made all of those concessions. So the and this court has in a different case ordered me with a case I had on appeal to present a statement of position on whether it should be remanded for reconsideration in light of Reyes. Okay, so this court has clearly said that it is not necessary for a defendant to have made all of those concessions in order for that to be an issue.
We don't even say he considered it. That's all. He considered the difference. That's all I'm saying. He wasn't like he just blew it off.
He said the judge said that he thought that he could consider it, but that he would not consider it in this case because just the weight of Mr. Guajardo's criminal record as he saw it was too extensive.
Thank you, Mr. Throckeld.
Thank you, sir.
And for the government, Mr. Thompson.
May it please the court. Joe Thompson appearing on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, contrary to what defense counsel said, the government doesn't argue that the court didn't consider the prior DUI arrest. The court certainly did. However, in the course of doing so, his own words made it clear that his consideration of those arrests was harmless in this context. The court considered, when he went through the defendant's background, a number of factors. First and foremost, he considered the defendant's prior drug trafficking offense. And he noted that if the defendant had a prior drug use offense as opposed to a drug trafficking offense, for which he, in fact, received 4 years, a four-year sentence, of which he served about approximately a year and a half in the Illinois Department of Corrections, he might have saw fit to go below, to further reduce below the guidelines. Second, he considered the DUI arrests, the defendant's prior DUI arrests. He had three prior DUI arrests, the first two which the PSR doesn't have any information about other than the fact of arrest and the fact that the counts were dismissed in state court. The third arrest, however, the PSR contains a detailed recitation of the facts surrounding that arrest, not only in the criminal history section of the PSR, but also in the offense conduct section on page 4 of the PSR. It talks about how the defendant was pulled over after being seen swerving in and out of traffic, in and out of his lane of traffic. That when he was pulled over, police saw him with bloodshot eyes and watery eyes, that he had a strong odor of alcohol on him, and that he admitted drinking. The court properly considered that factor, as well as the drug trafficking offense. In addition, the court noted that the defendant presented a false identification when he was pulled over by police, and that, again, is contained in the offense conduct section of the PSR, to which the defendant did not object. Your Honor, of these factors, only the two initial DUI arrests were improperly considered, and the government concedes that was improper for the court to consider. But the court, after going through all those four things, said, if all of those things were absent from the record, I might have been able to see my way clear to a more radical departure. In fact, as you know, they were there, and they were court properly considered the drug trafficking offense, the false identification, and in the judgment's opinion, the third and final DUI that was actually, that arrest occurred and led to his arrest and charge in this instant case here. With respect to the fast track issue, the court did consider the issue. He said he didn't violate the yet undecided Reyes-Hernandez opinion. He said, I can, he didn't say I couldn't, I can't, this is an improper consideration. He kind of said, I could consider it, I am considering it, but in this case, I'm not going to do it. And he listed two things. One, he made a brief reference to the defendant's spotty record without any explanation of what he was referring to. I think the inference is he was referring to the things he talked about a couple pages earlier in the transcript. And this is government. This appears the fast track discussion on government's appendix 28, two pages after he went through the criminal history issues. But the court also considered, as Your Honor noted, that the defendant is not similarly situated to fast track defendants. He in fact hadn't made the, he hadn't waived his appellate rights or his 2255 rights. Defense counsel has argued that it's typical of fast track defendants in illegal reentry defendants in districts such as ours not to waive those, as opposed to whereas defendants in fast track districts do. But that's not doesn't have to be the case. He could have made that waiver here. In fact, I think it's common in those cases now for defendants to offer to do so at sentencing. That didn't happen in this case. Your Honor, for all these reasons, the government believes, and I think that record, a full examination of the sentencing transcript and the record here shows that the reference to the DUI arrest was harmless in light of the defendant's or the court's focus on and simultaneous consideration of the drug trafficking offense and the presentation of a false identification card. Unless the court has any questions, I'll end by asking you to affirm the sentence.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
Mr. Throckeld, a moment in rebuttal. 1 minute.
Sure. Thank you, Judge. The government asks us to interpret the court's language in referring to its sentencing decision and the defendant's criminal record as an assertion that I might have reduced the sentence, but only if all of these things were changed. So the government is saying that the court's position was all or nothing. I would reduce the sentence if every one of these things was changed, but not if only some of them were changed. And I think that is a misapprehension of the weight of the DUI arrests in the court's consideration of Mr. Guajardo's criminal record in sentencing him. Okay. If there are no further questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Guajardo. Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.